Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Testing 1, 2, 5.
All right, that should be good. All right, before I forget, it's not paradigm, it's paradigm.
I know, but why is there a G?
Because it's silent.
Then what's the point of having it?
Have you not heard the word baloney?
Yeah.
Go on, spelling bee before we start. Baloney.
B-O-L-O-N-G-A.
Wrong way around. O-G-N-A. That makes no sense either.
Blogging.
What about colonel?
Colonel?
As in a person in the army, not like part of a nut or something.
C-E-R-N-A-L?
I think we'd better just do the podcast review. But yeah, a lot of English words don't make any sense with regards to that. All right, this is the MGB review of hashtag PPW Energy Paradigm Pro Wrestling's third anniversary show. This is from September 25th, 2020. It was at the American Legion Post number 204 in Sellersburg, Indiana. Actually, as I was looking this up, Mason, there's a couple of organizations in Sellersburg. I'm not really that familiar with Indiana. I looked it up. It looked like it's fairly close to Indianapolis, like certainly within an hour when I did a quick search. I saw another event when I was researching one of the wrestlers, and it said Sellersburg again. I was like, oh, that must be one of the Paradigm events. Nope, totally different organization. So they have two organizations in the same town. I have no idea how big Sellersburg is, but that's pretty cool if you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Obviously, Indianapolis has a lot there as well. Now, we're only going to review three matches. We picked the one that we, the main event, the match that we most wanted to see, and one featuring somebody that we didn't know. I actually watched the whole card for this one. Even though it was 3.5 hours, I started watching. I saw O'Shea was in the first one, and I was like, well, I'm going to watch that. And then I kind of just carried on, and I was like, whoa. And that's kind of what led me to write down. I was like, I think we need to review Paradigm Pro Wrestling. I saw one of their previous events and really enjoyed it. So that was when I saw this one on IWTV. It kind of caught my attention a little bit.
This is the one, the only, the big, bad kaiju O'Shea Edwards, and you are listening to the MGB podcast.
So let me skip through some of the matches that we're not really going to talk about, unless you have anything you want to add in for any of these ones.
No, sometimes we only watched those five.
Oh, of course. So for me, I guess it'll be me then. So the first match was O'Shea Edwards versus Mo Atlas. O'Shea was dominating at the start. In the end, he actually lost, but it was great to see O'Shea in action. The Midwest Territory title three-way match between Chase Holiday, Cole Radrick, and Leo Moriarty. There was Flash Thompson versus Justin Kyle, Adam Slade versus Dylan Derringer, and Juicy Jimmy versus Derek Neal. And one we did actually watch afterward that didn't make the three, because I said this was one of my favorite matches, and you didn't pick it, which was fine. The PPW Tag Team title match between DD Trash, which is Bruce Gray and Ron Mathis, versus The Rejects, which was John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley. And I certainly recognize Reed Bentley from Nova Pro. You had something for this one, though, right?
Yeah, lots. There was six. There were six doors in the ring, and you have to send your opponent through four to win.
Yeah.
And there was three.
So they could have been a 3-3 tie then, actually.
No.
They must have had a bonus door if it came to that, I guess.
I didn't count them. I just
you
guessed.
Said it was six.
I just guessed.
You estimated? Yes. So your estimation of seven was wrong.
Because I just looked and I was like, oh, that's a lot of doors. And all then right. They started smashing doors.
Okay, let me ask you this way then. Did it get to, as it normally does in these things, a 3-3 tie?
Yeah.
So was there a seventh door then to decide?
They had to bring one out.
So how was your estimate of six doors then?
They had to bring an extra one out.
So how many doors were there?
Seven.
I would have thought that would have been simple.
I'll tell you why later.
I picked this match because I watched it and I knew as soon as there was tables being smashed and they were all set up in the corners.
There were no tables.
Doors, sorry. That you would actually like this one. And I actually thought Jackson would like this one. And then when we started watching it without him, we're like, oh no, the language was not really appropriate for a six-year-old. But it was certainly certainly fine for you. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
So three people do like tap chops. Like the fans, they were going to do chops, but it was more like a tap.
Uh-huh.
And Reed and John used the ref as a battering ram. K- Kendo Stick to the Doodle, and a duo door slam by Reed and John.
You don't say dingo anymore?
No. You go with doodle? I do.
Never heard you say doodle. Well, I've heard you say it but never on the podcast. You're known for saying dingo now. I didn't say doodle.
You said, ooh, Kendo Stick to the Doodle. And when
I didn't say doodle.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't use that. I've never used that phrase.
Maybe it's because Jackson uses it so much.
I don't know.
A duo door slam by Reed and John. Bruce and Ron send another person through the door. It was like a random fan, but it was actually a wrestler.
Yeah, it was clearly a wrestler, but it was still funny.
So they had to bring another one in. But before that, they took the broken pieces of the door because the ref was knocked out somehow.
Uh-huh.
And they acted like they won.
They put him over the wrestler. But they put him underneath the wrestler.
Yeah.
So it looked like he'd been slammed through it. So yeah, they totally cheated. But
the announcer came back in and he told them to restart the match. And they and then John breaks a fan in the dive. And Reed and John win with a suplex.
I love this match.
The thing I didn't like was that the suplex, Reed and John broke more of the table on the suplex. That's what I was unsure about. Because I was confused, 2-1.
Oh,
because
okay.
They went overboard a little bit, so only his head touched it, but their whole back touched
it. Oh, I see what you're saying. The so they didn't quite line it up. I guess it's the person that initiates the move then in those cases. Overall, thought it was...
Whenever I think of that, I think of Big Show when John Cena pushed him and he stepped through the door.
Uh-huh.
And his face was funny.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun match. It was kind of a long match as well. It was over 20 minutes. But there was a lot going on. And if we'd have put it without the sign, I think Jay would have found it funny. Like, there was plenty of things in there to keep you entertained. Like, the ref being picked up, just using his feet as a battering ram, I thought was really good. Alright, match 7 was one that you picked as the person that you didn't know. So this was the UWF, I think it's 1 rules. I don't know if it's I or 1. I think it's like the Roman numeral thing. The UWF I rules match between Dominic Guarini and Nolan Edwards. Now, we clearly know Dominic Guarini because we've seen him multiple times. We've seen him at different organizations as well. And Nolan Edwards was the person you didn't know, which is why you picked this one. I did find out a little bit about him. At Pro Nolan Edwards, that's him on Twitter. Independent wrestler, Detroit, Michigan. Looks like he's been around since May 2018. Oh, that might just be on Twitter, actually. And some of his matches, I actually recognize the people who he's faced, Mason. So 2019, IWA MS Winter Tryout Show. He faced Paragon. I think that's the Paragon who's at Infinite Pro Wrestling. I know you haven't been to that one as much as Jackson and I, because you kept missing it because of baseball practice. But I'm pretty sure Paragon is the... He was the one where I think Myron Reed called to the back, because we were like, oh, we wanted to get his autograph. And he went and fetched him from the back and brought him back out. I'm sure that's Paragon.
Yeah.
Unless there's another Paragon. Him. And the other one, week later, also from IWA MS, Seasons Beatings, Congo Kong.
Oh.
So, yeah, there was a few names that I recognized from this one.
I was thinking of Pentagon Jr.
Oh, no. Oh, and I think I had that confusion when I first saw it to begin
Paragon,
with.
Paragon, Pentagon?
Yeah. I can understand that. And he's also AIW in February 2020 and also in September 2020. So I thought I'd actually seen the February one. So I might have actually seen him before but not realized.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the September event yet. I'm not even sure if that's on IWTV. All right. I think you need to talk us through what these rules are then first, Mason, right?
Basically,
what is this match?
It's kind of like an MMA match.
Uh-huh.
And it's also like a middle school, high school, college wrestling match.
Uh-huh.
You start with 15 points and you lose them from like takedown. You can lose them from using a rope break and all that stuff. So you can win by TKO, which ref has to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Also a knockout.
Mm-hmm.
And submission.
Now, this is the other thing that brought me back to this organization. The event that I watched, every single match was this rules.
Yeah.
They had like 16 people, I think. They had like 8 matches in the first round, and then they just kept going until they had an eventual winner. And I kind of liked it. I liked that technical style again. There was a lot of quick matches, though. Like, if you get a submission move locked in quickly, then some of these matches could be like 3-4 minutes long, knowing that they had to advance in the tournament on the one that I saw. So that was one of the things when I recommended to you that you pick a match. I said, I think you should pick at least one of these matches that follows those rules to see what you think of it.
And
particularly as you're a middle school wrestler.
Yeah, you can win by a point decision when your opponent runs out of points
left. Uh-huh. And they said that rarely happens, and I didn't see that really. I don't think in any of the ones I saw. Most, normally it's a submission.
They only lost like 4 points in this
match. Yeah, there was one where they're like, what's the score? And he's like, I think it's 15 to 14. So they didn't really lose any points at all.
Yeah.
I was excited by this one as well, because I know Dominic Green is sort of background as well in, is it Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I think it is?
I don't know.
It's something like that. So I knew he was going to be a submission specialist. All right, tell us about the match itself then, Mason.
So Dominic Guarini lost 3 points for a takedown, I believe. And there's so many submission holds by Dominic Guarini. Double ankle lock. Nolan lost a point for using a rope break. Then Dominic won with a sleeper, resulting in like a TKO.
That thing looked locked in so tight.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when you look at those, you're like, oh, he doesn't even have anything on it. That looked in. His legs were like absolutely wrapped around his neck. It looked really, really impressive. So, no, I was thoroughly satisfied with this match. One of the rules that you didn't mention I really like is you can't get a submission by manipulation of small joints, which I read as you can't bend their fingers back. So I was like, you can't do like a
Pete Dunne. It was kind of hard to write all of them because they were talking and it's harder to write than talk.
There was quite a few different rules as it was going through, but you could kind of pick it up even without having to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, that was all the rules that you needed to know, and the commentators could explain it.
Yeah, they were explaining how many points it was at each time. I don't know if, I'm trying to remember, do the ref throw fingers up like they do in the middle school ones? Like,
no.
Throw two fingers up like 2 points? No. Or I don't remember the middle school.
The thing
story.
I don't like about middle school, the wrestling, is they slide their hand on the mat to count.
Uh-huh.
I want them to do like real wrestling.
Is that so you can hear it or the
it
sound
was,
of it?
I don't know why, but
I thought it was to check if the shoulder was down as well.
That's when they count. That's how they count.
Oh, okay.
But if your shoulder's on the mat, then they can't slide it under.
Okay.
Which is why I don't understand. They just smack the mat to show that it's over.
Hmm. Okay. All right, the match that I think this is the one that you picked is the one that you most wanted to see, and I might have slightly.
Yeah, well, either one, like both of them had people, which we didn't know, and both of them I really wanted to see. So.
Oh, hold on! Before we get to that next match, I had a few things after the end. Dominic came on and he's like, "Is this microphone working?" And I'm like, that was my only criticism of this event. The sound was awful. Like, there was some way you just couldn't hear what they were saying. Like, first of all, I was like, is my volume turned down low? And I turned it right up, and you still could barely hear what the people were saying. So I don't think it was. As far as I could tell, he was praising Nolan Edwards a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I heard him say, nobody hits as hard as he does.
Mm-hmm.
So, he gave kudos out to Nolan, which I thought was really cool.
And he doesn't want to buy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to buy. The other thing I saw right at the end was Nolan was also in a match at Black Label Pro, January 2020. I love Black Label Pro, so I might have seen him there as well. He was in a match with about 25 people, including Billy Starks, which takes us on to match 8 pretty nicely. Tag team match between Billy Starks and Charlie Krull versus 40 Acres, which was PB Smooth and Trey Lamar. Having talked up Trey Lamar recently, this was one I was kind of interested in. PB Smooth we've seen before, AIW, you got your picture taken with him. That might be the biggest contrast in teams, actually. PB Smooth and Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
In terms of height, I think he's 7 foot.
Yeah, 7'2".
Because he kind of like steps over that top rope. He's huge, but that was cool to see those. And Billy Starks, I didn't realize. I've seen her last year against Kylie Rae, and I had no idea she was as young a wrestler. I think she's only 17 now.
I think I messed up. I wrote Y as their letters, as her. I wrote B-I-L-L-Y, but that's a boy's name. It's I-E.
It's I-E, yes, it is.
It's like Billie Eilish's I-E.
And if you've not seen it written down, you probably wouldn't. Correct, like Billie Eilish. It's also Starks with a Z or a Z if you prefer as well, so you probably didn't know. You probably had the S in there.
Yeah, I had an S.
Uh-huh. And Charlie Krull is not with a C either, it's with a K. But that's sensible because when you do Google searches with an unusual spelling, you're more likely to find a person you want, particularly if you have a very common name.
Like
so
Billy.
I think it makes sense. Like, I think Trey normally, I've seen Trey as T-R-E-Y, but this is T-R-E.
Yeah, so I think that. I knew that because of the Masked Wrestler.
Yeah, I think that really helps them when they're trying to set up their identities on social media.
And PB Smooth. There's no PB Smooth.
Unless you find a food product.
Yes.
But yeah, in terms of wrestler, then you should be
good. Smooth peanut butter.
All right, Charlie Krull, the purple-haired maniac. She's 22 years old. I didn't realize she was as young as that either. I'm sure I saw her at Infinite Pro last year. I've tried looking on Cage Match. Their results only go back to 2018, so I couldn't find it there. So I went to Infinite Pro's website, and they don't post results anymore. So I can confirm. I don't remember us having purple hair, though. I thought she had, like, red hair when I saw her. So I'm not sure about that one. Her first match, actually, was listed on Cage Matches March 2018. So she hasn't been wrestling that long. Alida Ortiz defeats Charlie Krull in 3 minutes and 31 seconds. Wow, that's a short match. That's Cabana Man Dan Kung Fu Janela Nova Pro's tryout show. I'm going to start looking now for shortest matches I can find. Now we know that there are some short ones. 3:31 is my current one.
And there's a 1 second match. That's not Tim Donst.
I guess so. I guess. Oh, I forgot about Tim Donst's match. I again thought about that.
Or is it 0-0-2?
It was 2 because it says on his shirt, doesn't it? Yeah, you're right. I'd forgotten about that one. That match was at Jeffersonville, Indiana. Girls Fight St. Paddy's Melee. And what else did it say? Oh, the cutest, purple-haired, energetic, ditzy, horror-loving maniac in professional wrestling. And that led into the team name, which is Space Maniacs. Billy Starks is Space Yeesus. Her nickname is Pizza Cat Jr. Wasn't Shotzi Pizza Cat?
I thought that was
one of her aliases.
I don't know. The only one I remember is Joey, and I don't...
We're not talking about that nickname. I know where you're going with that. I'm sure she was Pizza Cat, but I couldn't find anything out more about that
one. I really don't remember.
All right, Mason, tell us about the match then.
So Charlie hops on Billy's back to be at PB Smooth's height so he can stop taunting her. Uh-huh. There was a mid-suplex and half the lights turn off. But they don't really come back on. They come back on after like a minute. Billy kicks out of a bicycle kick by Trey Lamar. Billy makes Trey do a stunner to PB Smooth.
That was funny.
Yeah.
They set that up beautifully. Like they lifted his arms up. He grabs hold of PB Smooth and then it's a forced move. I love that.
Uh-huh. And PB gets the win by doing a chokeslam to Charlie.
Yeah, and I didn't expect that. I thought for the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, Billy and Charlie are definitely winning this one. And then when it kind of came through, it was like, ah, it made sense that somebody who's 7 foot tall and someone as talented as Trey would actually get the win for that one. I thoroughly enjoyed this match as well. And it was one I was the most looking forward to. And it certainly didn't disappoint as well. I would have liked it to go on perhaps a little bit longer because I was having so much fun with it. But then same with some of the other matches. I kind of like it, though, that they left you with wanting more. Rather than have a match that goes on 5 minutes too long, everyone goes, oh, that was too long. That was kind of boring. I think possibly they've actually timed this perfectly to do this one.
Heelcat is not happy right now because I'm sitting in her chair, so...
She chose to go and sit up there. I think she's okay. Now, I did see one other thing. Last time I saw Billy Starks was actually against Deonna Purrazzo at the Black Label Pro Turbo Graps tournament as well. That's a really good match as well. I would definitely recommend checking that one out as well. And actually, Billy Starks' second match, listed on Cage Match, is against Charlie Krull. So they actually know each other obviously pretty well. I think it said that they're both from like Indiana as well, so they've probably grown up on the same sort of circuit as well. Next one, I just showed you this one at the end. So this wasn't one of our matches, and I didn't know anything about these people when we first looked, but I'm sure you're going to want to talk about this one, Mason. Everett Connors and Bradley Prescott IV.
Yeah.
To me, this was my favorite match. When I looked on the card, I didn't recognize either of these two.
I forgot the Roman numeral for 4, so I just put 4 eyes.
Yeah, that's actually on a clock.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. The reason I saw that came up recently, somebody actually had a big tattoo, and it's like got a whole clock on, and someone said, I hate to tell you, but that's not the Roman numeral for 4. And I can't remember the reason. Somebody actually posted the correct reason why they use I on clocks rather than IV. But I didn't bother reading the article because I'd actually seen it before. I just can't remember what the reason is. So, it's funny that came up. I literally saw that today. So it was interesting. IV. Because 5 is V. So 1 before 5 means 5 take away 1, which is 4.
Oh.
A little bit of Roman numerals lesson for you there as well. So this is the natural lightweight. I think. Is it natural lightweight?
Natural light champion.
Oh, okay. Because it was light. I thought he said light. It linked it in with like light
natural,
heavyweight.
It
or...
was the beer natural and it was light. Like in
natural,
Bud Light.
Correct, like Bud Light. Yeah, I got it. I loved it when he came in. He had the box from the 12-pack on as his mask. Because everyone else came in a mask. And I don't remember if he had a mask underneath the box that was on his head. But it just looked funny from the start.
I don't remember.
Do you want to say anything about this match?
Yeah. So Bradley wrestles with a beer in his hands. Everett walks out.
As soon as he started with that, you knew straight away this was going to be a comedy match.
Orange Cassidy.
It reminded me exactly of Orange Cassidy as well. I thought that same thing when
he
came in.
You know what he should do? He should grab like something and pop it so all the beer comes out of the bottom.
They have matches afterwards. They don't really want beer on the ring if they can avoid it, I'm sure.
Make it the main event.
Well, I would have had no problems with this one. If this had been the main event, I would have been quite happy with this.
So Everett walks out of the arena, and while Bradley is counting, he sneaks back around the whole arena, comes back through the entrance, and
you
comes
can
out
only
on top.
Do that with those fake counts. Like, if you did the old style 10 count, 1, 2, 3,
know,
he would have had no chance.
You might
to get
be able to run out.
But they did
if
the
it was
WWE
MLW.
Count. It was like, whoa.
MLW, you might be able to do it.
You might be able to do it in, yeah, the MLW
but
20 count.
But you'd have
count.
To hustle.
Yeah, it was funny though. And then he tiptoes, the camera obviously knew what was going on, and he's tiptoeing back in. It was funny.
I'm surprised the fan didn't yell.
Behind you.
Yeah.
That would have been very British panto if they'd have done
that.
Uh-huh.
And Bradley drank a beer and passed out, but Bradley wins the pile driver.
Oh, that was all you're gonna say about that? I thought it was way.
Well, we weren't
I know
really
it's not
reviewing
the,
it.
Correct. It's not the main thing. For me, I thought it was my favorite match of all. I really enjoyed this one.
I enjoyed the Dominic match the most.
And I really like the technical side of that.
But
you
but
know,
that
I
was
like
short.
Those. Yeah, I you know I like the comedy side style matches as well.
It was my favorite overall match without the time factor.
Okay, that would make sense.
Enjoyment.
And I think this is also a match that if we showed it to Jay, I think he would probably find it funny as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually just followed Bradley on Twitter as well, and I actually posted, I need to see more of actually both of these guys. I couldn't find Everett Connors on Twitter, unfortunately. I think I might have seen Bradley actually at that previous event that I talked about, but when you only see somebody the first time, it doesn't really stick. But I remember somebody with beer, and I'm going to guess
like
it was him.
Pineapple
but,
Pete?
But
I don't remember him.
Yeah, you don't remember Sugar Dunkerton. Yeah.
I really don't remember.
To me, that was one of the memorable things at Nova Pro. The first one we went to, Ugly Ducklings was obviously one. Safety First, Tim Dodds was
another
one.
Yeah, I remember
one.
That.
The fact that Sanjay Dutt was
Sanjay,
there, who we
I
saw
remember.
At Impact, was huge.
Logan, I remember.
But then the next thing after that was the fact that Pineapple Pete, or Sugar Dunkerton as he was then, was doing the dances. It was hilarious.
They don't
stopped
remember
mid. Because I'd never seen that style of wrestling before at that point. I guess they have kind of dance breaks, like, recently, like Carmella and R-Truth have kind of done that. But at that point, I'd never really seen anything like that in the middle of a match. I thought it was, yeah, it was memorable to me. All right, match 10 then that we didn't talk about was PPW Heavy Hitters title Street Fight, which I actually thought was one of the best matches as well. That might be one I'll show you later, actually. That was, I thought that was really good. Also, there was another one of those UWFI rules matches between Calvin Tankman and Brett Eisen. Calvin Tankman, someone I'm recommended to you as well. I've seen him perhaps in the last couple of months, and yeah, he's a really big hitter as well. And the main event, if it hadn't been the main event, I'm sure it would be the one that we wanted to see more than anything else anyway. For the PPW title, the best 2 out of 3 falls matches between Freddie Hudson, the champion, and Myron Reed. As soon as I saw Myron Reed, it was like... When we've been picking our matches, if it has Jordan Oliver in it, we've been pretty much picking that as a one we want to see. And the same with Myron Reed as well. I think that MLW connection, we just like both of those guys. What did I say? Oh, I actually wrote down for this one because they actually went through some of the rules again for this. Or perhaps I wrote it at the end as you started watching this again. There was a caption that said, not suitable for younger fans. Because I was going to say, oh, sorry, Mason, you can't do this review. It's just going to be me. I did mention the manipulation of small joints. Freddie, I found out, is 23 years old. And when I found that out, I was like, man, there's a lot of young talent, actually, in this organization. Like, some of the female wrestlers we talked about earlier, I don't think Myron Reed's that old either. I think he's only like 23, possibly, as well.
Yeah, 24.
Yeah, they're all kind of young for this. So the setup for this is October 2019, and they actually showed a highlights package,
like,
which was cool for
there
us.
There was 2018. 2018, yeah. 2019.
It was cool for us because we didn't know the backstory to this at all. And there is a backstory. So in the second anniversary show, Freddie Hudson actually defeated Myron Reed. In December 2019, Myron Reed defeated Freddie Hudson.
Oh,
and it looked like they... No, they won. They both won one.
Oh.
They split the wins.
I thought it was two... Mm-hmm. I thought it was Freddie Myron.
No, they split the wins. So, you know, there's a history there. It looked like they'd interfered in some of each other's matches as well. And then, so this was like the final time. July 2020, just to set up the story, Freddie Hudson took the title from Cole Radrick. So that was the title change there. That was at the PPW Heavy Hitters 2. I think that's the one I saw, actually. That sounds familiar, Heavy Hitters. All right, talk to us through this one then, Mason. Probably a lot with three falls involved.
Yeah,
all
three sentences.
Even though it says two out of three, you know it's going to be one all.
I got three sentences, one from each fall.
Oh, you do?
No, I'm just joking. Myron does a kickflip to dodge a punch, and Freddy almost gets the pin with an electric chair. Myron gets the first fall because he had the advantage from his, like, friend on the outside. Myron does a cutter jumping from the inside to the outside of the ring. Freddy won number two by a roll-up. Freddy would have won, but Myron's friend pulled the ref out of the ring, and Myron won with hitting Freddy in the face with the vest.
Yeah, you asked me who was the guy on the outside, and I had to say, yeah, I don't know. I'm not as familiar with that organization, as I certainly will be soon, because I'm definitely going to go back and watch some more of these events, because I really enjoyed this one. I thought this was really cool. Yeah, Myron took the win for this one, so there was a change in champion. That person on the outside always makes the difference for this one. I got a few things also relating to this. I found out some more things about Freddie Hudson, some other titles. And after this event, this is about, because this was September, so more recently, October 18th, the AWR Tag Team Title Tournament, final four-way doors, ladders, and chairs match. He's in a team called Shooters Don't Die. Which is him and Miles Morales, defeated the Original Sins and the Death Threat Army and the Black Cube Society, which is also in Indianapolis. Now, we saw that Jordan Oliver beat Myron Reed at Synergy Pro, and we reviewed that one. That was the first time they ever met. The month after, Myron Reed defeated Jordan Oliver. I thought I'd written... Oh, here, VXS, No Justice, No Peace. I don't actually know that one. It's in Philadelphia, so I'm surprised. I'm not familiar with that one. That's only about 2.5 hours away from us. And this one, I haven't heard anything about this one. Myron Reed defeats Warhorse at the Independent Wrestling Expo Day 1 pay-per-view in North Richmond Hills, Texas. I'm guessing then that was not for the Independent Wrestling title, because I don't. I think he's still undefeated in that one. It must just have been a I don't want to say random match, a non-title match. But I would like to see that match.
Yeah.
I know it said pay-per-view. I was like, whoa, I didn't know. So, yeah, if there was a wrestling expo, that suggests that there's a whole lot of matches for this one.
When I think of Freddie Hudson, I think of Doc Hudson from the Cars.
I just threw away some of... We just did a tidy out because we've had a lot of stuff with COVID. Normally, we'd periodically go and take stuff to, like, the thrift store. And we haven't done that in ages. And I know Mommy took, like, probably 8 to 10 bags... the other day, and there was still 12 bags downstairs, so I took that, and actually some of his books we cleared out today, because he's reading way ahead of that level now. But yeah, we kind of got rid of the Carl's books. It's kind of a little sad. Carl's is kind of cute. I kind of enjoy it, but he doesn't read that stuff anymore to him, because it's too babyish, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, anything to finish this one up?
No.
All right, that'll do it.
That wave was gnarly, dude. Boom! I'm filling in for Jackson.
Cool beans. What we'll probably do, actually, is it's the first semi-final of The Masked Wrestler tonight, so if we get a chance, we'll try and record that, and then we'll edit this in to the end so we can find out. We'll finally get to find out who one of the winners was from the first round, because they'll actually get unveiled. Revealed, sorry, or unveiled is the word, and I kind of mix the two up together. All right, week 5 then of The Masked Wrestler. All right, Mason, talk us through it.
It was Skid versus Genkai.
I can't remember their names at all, I gotta be honest.
Genkai, I believe he fought KTB.
Like, I remember the names, but, like, I couldn't remember, like, the with them being masks, like, it's so difficult to remember, because they all look the same, essentially, except for the colors. So I think it said that they were week 1 and week 2, which would make sense, because you'd want to give them the longest rest between matches, I would guess. Mm-hmm. So one of them beat Logan, and then KTB, you think, was the second one?
Skid beat Logan.
Uh-huh.
And one was super big, and the other one was super wasn't small, but he was very athletic.
So our predictions was, I thought the tall guy in the first one, with his kick, he kind of reminded me of Josh Briggs. I couldn't think of anyone who else was that tall. And then for the acrobatic guy, as he was pretty tall, I actually thought it might have been Jordan Oliver. Because also, it's got to be somebody who's credible for the IWTV title as well. I know he fought him at Synergy recently, so I was like, that's possible. And you thought?
I thought it was Eric Royal and Jordan Oliver.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not Jordan.
Myron Reed. Yeah, and that would have fit in with the it as well, because he has that same acrobatic thing. I didn't think that Myron Reed's as tall as that, but I'm not sure, to be honest. And anyway, we did get to see one more person who got revealed. Do I get half points because I got Josh?
Yeah. Josh Bishop, I think.
Yeah, you said I recognize the name, but I can't remember where we've seen him. Like, I think we've only seen him like a couple of times anyway, so I'm not quite as familiar. I think the reason I have a problem with it is there used to be a soap character, I think, called Joey Bishop.
or something like that. I know there's another bishop somewhere, and I was getting them all mixed up, and I know this is... But yeah, when he took the mask off, I've got to be honest, his face did not look that familiar to me.
It didn't.
So I don't think we've really seen him very many times at all. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. There's only two more matches to go. There's one more semi-final. I would have kind of liked to have seen the reaction of, I guess it would have been a lot more filming, of the person, like Logan, as they revealed that first person, so you could actually see what actually happened. Jay, you came down suddenly. Do you want to add anything to this review?
No.
For the JGB Wrestling Podcast?
No.
No? Don't even want to say, what do you think of the whole show? You have a two-word summary?
No.
Somebody said they liked you when you said Cool Beans, so was this show Cool Beans?
Somebody's gone all shy.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/